If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. May the 4th be with you and also with you, suffering thuckatash. Joining us right now is our resident Star Wars expert and host of Rebel Force Radio, Jimmy Mack. Hi, Jim.
May the 4th be with you, Wendy.
Okay, can I just say, is a Star Wars Catholic? Because it is kind of taking May the 4th be with you and also with you and with your spirit. And I can't stop doing that now. When did this start?
That's a good question. I'd say probably about 20 years ago, fans just started picking up on it. And it just began to spread sort of virtually. And then Lucasfilm picked up on it. Disney picked up on it. And it's become this full-on Star Wars holiday.
Somebody claims, as we call you back because the phone just disconnected, it originated from a 1979 British newspaper ad congratulating Margaret Thatcher on becoming Prime Minister. I did not know this. They did the pun on the Star Wars line, "May the Force be with you." And then the phrase was basically used politically then, and it was later adopted by fans, as Jimmy Mack said, with the first organized celebration occurring in 2011. So, yeah, originated from a 1979 British newspaper ad congratulating Margaret Thatcher. There's something you can put on the podcast.
Well, we did last year, and somebody called us and debunked the whole thing.
Really?
Said that was internet fiction and never really happened.
So, all right. So what?
Sorry to burst your bubble.
Yeah, you didn't. All right. I posted something because on our counter at our house we have vanilla wafers, which are I'm a good big fan of vanilla wafers, but these are they blue?
They're blue. They're Nilla Wafers. It's a new marketing campaign to promote the Mandalorian and Grogu. They're blue Nilla Nummies. Not Nilla Wafers, Nilla Nummies. Grogu Nilla Nummies. And there's a little picture of Baby Yoda on the box with the Mandalorian logo. And, $5 off a Mandalorian movie ticket when you buy any two participating Nilla products. So there you go. You could even save money and enjoy blue cookies while you're watching the Mandalorian.
They're pretty good, although my tongue turned blue last night when I was eating them. Big events for May the 4th. What are you doing tonight?
Tonight, the Mandalorian and Grogu will be featured in an IMAX special look event happening at a handful of theaters in the Chicago area. 25 plus minutes of never before seen footage from the film, which opens on May 22nd. So some lucky fans tonight will be able to get a sneak peek of 25 minutes.
I don't know what's with the phones lately. Sometimes I feel we don't pay the phone bills around here. But yeah, he's going to go see the special screening tonight, and then he has purchased tickets for every other showing that is going to happen. May the 4th be with you. And also with you. I can't help myself. All right. Well, you can listen to more of this where the phone does not break up on Rebel Force Radio if you're into podcasts. And, you know, you can see why I married him, right? Because he's a lover of things all Star Wars. This is the last time you need to get a new phone, I think.
I think the dark side of the Force is at work here. I don't know why we keep getting cut off.
All right. So
I was saying that tonight there's a special event. It's totally sold out, so you can't get in. Tickets went really fast for this IMAX special look event, but it's 25 minutes of never before seen footage from the upcoming Mandalorian and Grogu film.
Okay. And then how many tickets have you purchased to see the movie after tonight's little preview?
Well, I definitely have 10 tickets in my Fandango account currently. I don't know if they're all going to be used, but I bought up tickets to a bunch of different theaters because you have to see it in all sort of different ways. You have to see it on a standard screen. You have to see it on an XD screen. You have to see it on an IMAX screen. You have to see it at the Dolby Theater. There are so many different ways to see this movie. And believe me, I'm going to see them all.
This is the passion that I fell in love with, the passion for Star Wars. All right, well, I thank you for sharing the May the 4th be with you today with us. I appreciate it, and enjoy your 4th.
Well, the 4th is strong with you, so happy Star Wars Day.
right back at you. Jimmy Mack, I really loved the first. I'll be honest with you, the Mandalorian series has been really good, and you do not have to be up on the lore or anything. You can just kind of jump on board. The series was great, and now this new movie in theaters. Baby Yoda's cute. I know his name is Grogu, but I think Baby Yoda is just a cuter way of saying it. So, all right, news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We're going to check in with Alex Zalman. We'll probably talk Star Wars a little bit more before I get out of here today. And, yeah, go ahead and say it. May the 4th be with you.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
It's Wendy Snyder here in for Bob Surratt. Alex, you and I talked yesterday, and now you are back with more TV talk and some movie talk thrown in. Alex is the host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast. What's going on at the box office?
Sure. Devil Wears Prada 2 came out this weekend, and it was absolutely huge. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. I did see it last week at a press screening and thought it was actually pretty fantastic.
Really?
I was very surprised. Yeah, I enjoy the first one, but this one did seem more mature. It has some interesting things to say about the state of journalism today, which really took me aback. And, you know, you got Meryl Streep, you got Anne Hathaway, and moviegoers seem to have responded because it made $77 million this weekend, which is the biggest opening for a comedy since Pitch Perfect 2 11 years ago. So that's pretty huge. Worldwide, it made $234 million, which is getting pretty close to the entire total of the previous one in one weekend. So
jeez,
people are gaga for the devil, I guess.
All right. I did not see the first one. Obviously, I haven't seen the second one, and I didn't see Pitch Perfect either, so they didn't get any of my money. But I should go back and watch The Devil Wears Prada, the original. I'm sure I'd love it.
You know what? We rewatched it, or I watched it for the first time with my daughter before I was going to the press screening for the second one, and it really still works. You know, it's a very fluffy rom-com at times, and it's very much of the time, both in terms of outfits and everything else, but the whole thing about getting your first job and the tension of that and wanting to do the right thing, driven to the umpteenth degree by Meryl Streep being the absolute nightmare boss, it still really works. I was very tense the entire time, even when I was laughing. Emily Blunt is great. Stanley Tucci is great. Just well worth revisiting that movie, for sure.
I got to see it, and then I'll go see Devil Wears Prada 2. It's also Star Wars Day. We talked to Jimmy Mack, my husband, a little while ago to talk about May the 4th be with you. And you had some statistics you wanted to talk about, the streaming.
Nothing more exciting than statistics in the morning, Wendy.
Well, this is just blowing me away.
I actually thought this was really cool. Nielsen, who measures these things and has been doing it for decades at this point, put out some stats this morning via Variety about how much Star Wars was watched last year in 2025 on Disney Plus, the home of Star Wars, of course. And the answer is 33 billion minutes of Star Wars were watched last year, and that includes all the movies, the TV shows, everything. They went further into it, and if you want to get really wonky, I thought this, again, was really fascinating. Most of it, of course, is the movies at 44.2%. The Star Wars shows made up for 38.9%. The live action shows led by Andor, which premiered new episodes last year, so that's not too surprising. One thing that was a little bit of a bummer was documentaries about the franchise, which there's some really interesting ones on the service, 0.2% of all viewing. So if you want to bump that up a little bit, you could watch one documentary and probably bring it up to 0.3%. The last little stat that I'll throw out to you that I thought was kind of fascinating, they broke it down by generation who's watching. And Andor, which again premiered new episodes last year, that was right in the middle, ages 30 to about 61. Both millennials and Gen X was big with them. But the one that bridged all generations was The Mandalorian. It's huge for Gen Alpha, which is ages 2 to 13. And it's also huge for baby boomers, ages 62 to 80. So there you go.
That is, well, see, that's what, Star Wars is good. When Star Wars is doing well, it's good for my husband's podcast, Rebel Force Radio, of course. But it's really spanning all the generations. The new shows are bringing younger viewers in, and the old-time fans are still enjoying it. I really thought Mandalorian was great, and I'm not a Star Wars lover by any means. I just thought it was really good, so this movie should be really good.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. There's been a lot of negativity around it. The early tracking came out and put it at about 80 million, which puts it at the real low end of Star Wars movies. Granted, I would love to make $80 million in a weekend, but, I'm not a Star Wars movie. But I think these stats actually really point to why they leaned in this direction, because kids clearly love Grogu, aka Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. He's adorable. He's the reason I want to see the movie. And they already got the baby boomers, the people who were watching the franchise when it first came out. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun time at the movie theater for sure.
Well, I've got to say, may the 4th be with you. And then I've got to tell you, we're going to take a quick break. Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt this morning. And our entertainment report is sponsored by JeffBuysYourHouse.com. We're talking to Alex Zalbin. He is host and producer of Comic Book Club podcast. You can find it at ComicBookClubLive.com. I love Saturday Night Live. There, I said it. I watch it every week. And Olivia Rodrigo was both the host and musical guest this week. And I'm telling you something right now. I am going to become president of her fan club. She won me over in the monologue with a little parody of one of her own songs. All right. First of all, Alex, I don't know if you're a fan of Olivia. I didn't know. I feel stupid and old. I didn't know her hit was a song about a driver's license.
Yeah, from a couple of years ago, that was her big breakout. She, on the comedy bent, I'll mention, got her start with Disney stuff, and that's, obviously there's a lot of negatives to that, but it's such a good training ground for comedy, for music, for everything. She is on, or was on, a fantastic show called High School Musical, The Series, that is still streaming on Disney Plus, and it's this weird meta premise about a group of kids at the real quote-unquote high school from the High School Musical movies deciding to put on a production of High School Musical. So she's the female lead of that. She was very funny and very good in that. And then midway through that run came out with the song Driver's License that just bumped her into the stratosphere. It came to the attention of Taylor Swift, which really helped lift her up quite a bit. She was not really in the third season of the show subsequently and has become a full-on global music star since then.
I did not know she was 23 years old. I did not know she had the voice of an angel. And she really was good in all the sketches on SNL, too. Really funny.
Yeah, my favorite from the evening kind of pushed her to the side a little bit. We talked about this before, but Ashley Padilla, who is so funny. There's this sketch where Olivia Rodrigo is at a wedding with this other guy. They decide to pretend to be on a date because she sees her ex there. And the Ashley Padilla is at the other table and goes totally over the top doing the same thing with her ex, smearing his face with mashed potatoes, ripping off his shirt. That one made made me laugh
so
very
funny.
Hard.
The whole show was really good. So I am president of the Olivia Rodrigo fan club. I will tell you how you can join anybody if you are interested later this morning. All right. Another person who's a pretty good singer is one of the cast members of The Pitt. And she's doing a Broadway show during the off season of The Pitt. And someone kind of yelled at her. And what happened here?
Sure. This is Issa Briones, who plays Dr. Trinity Santos on The Pitt, a great show on HBO Max if people haven't checked it out. One of the big plot lines of this past season is she's a doctor. She is never finishing her charts. She's always behind on her charts. She is currently on Broadway in the jukebox musical Just in Time. And apparently during a recent performance, somebody shouted, "When are you going to finish your charts?" before she was singing her song, which, yes, is funny, but also entirely inappropriate
yes.
to do in the middle of a Broadway show.
And it wasn't me, people, just so you know, because that is something, you know, I might do.
Yes. And she took to her Instagram and was like, "Hey, don't do that." I'm downplaying it a little bit. There may have been a little cursing in the Instagram story. But basically, she was saying, "Listen, this is a different thing. I'm not Dr. Trinity Santos. I am an actor who is in a show trying to craft a performance, lies on stage. Don't disrupt it that way." And, you know, there's been a bigger conversation. I don't know how much you've seen this online. There's been a lot of articles written about this, about the Pitt fandom being very rabid, is the nice way of putting
yeah.
it, about all the characters and everything. I think this ties into that, where they're starting to disrupt things in the everyday life for the people who are in the show. And there's times that are appropriate for that if you're, say, at a Comic-Con panel or something. And there's other times, if you're in a Broadway show, where maybe just watch the show, enjoy the performance, you know?
Exactly. And The Pitt has been renewed, so we will see a new season of that at some point. And before I let you go, I know it's Star Wars Day, but let's talk about other cute little critters called the Gremlins. Tell us this big news.
Sure. I am a huge fan of Gremlins, the movie from 1983, just a perfect mix of horror and comedy. And this blew my mind when I heard this. The movie is an hour and a half long. It's always been an hour and a half long. Turns out there's a 2.5 hour version that director Joe Dante has been holding on to since then. It's the assembly cut, so it's very rough. It's not in finished form, but he showed it off to a select audience of fans last Thursday, and I have to see this. I'm dying to see this. They got to put this on streaming. Apparently, you know, it's a little rough, but it takes like an hour for the Gremlins to finally get on screen, but there's extended scenes, there's different cuts, different takes on the characters, so it's unrated. It probably would take a lot of work to put on any sort of streaming service, but man, I'm dying to see this. Tour it around to theaters, put it on streaming. I'm going to use your radio show to beg them to put that out there.
All right, I got to see it as well. All right, well, perfect. Thank you so much, and you're free to talk entertainment tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow, Wendy.
I love it. Alex Zalbin, you can find him at comicbookclublive.com, host of Comic Book Club Podcast.